evening. You turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're looking at Paul's advice to Timothy in a world such as ours. Paul's advice to Timothy in a world such as ours. And we'll read the entire chapter. Hear the word of God. Understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and apostles will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. We live in a 1 Timothy 3, or 2 Timothy chapter 3 world, don't we? If you want an example of this, just go out tonight and you will be able to see exactly what Paul describes. Lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's the party that will take place all over the world tonight as people break in the new year by saying goodbye to the old. Completely absorbed with the self. Hedonism is what we call it. Passion. Some of us once lived like that. I myself was one given to this. New Year's Eve was something I looked forward to with great anticipation. But one that I didn't remember very much of. One that lived full of passion for everything that was wrong, and it was self-destructive. Nothing good within it. Paul says we live in a world such as this. Every night is a New Year's Eve party all over the world. And if you look around, you will see that the Roman world of Paul's day to which he was writing, which was a world of hedonism, what is hedonism but the absolute desire and living for pleasure itself. So we see all over the world, we see that this kind of sense of living for just absolute pleasure is prevalent. The trouble is that Paul here is not speaking of the world, but of the church. We know that Paul is speaking of the church because Paul is writing to Timothy and he's writing in light of his own conflicts that he has received from the hands of people within the church, church leaders. And so remarkably so, when Paul writes all of these things, it's easy to put them as a picture out there, but it's so difficult to see it as a reality within here. What a nice way to start off a new year to be reminded of the actual reality of what the church is, full of false teaching, full of people that love as ourself, love as a money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, heartless. Crazy thought to have that of God's holy bride. But the reality is that when Paul was writing to Timothy, warning him against the many false teachers out there and encouraging him and, in fact, exhorting him to be unlike those unfaithful in his own ministry. He's reminding them of the world in which we live, but also the world of which the church is a part. And it's a dirty part of the world. We know that Paul is speaking of leaders within the church because he speaks of abusive leaders. He says, some among these creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions. He's speaking of the abuse of certain clergy, those who manifest themselves or parade themselves as teachers of God's word are actually just peddlers of passions. He says that they are always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Men who are eloquent in speech captivate people by their remarkable knowledge. Knowledge of what? Nothing but falsehood. Interested in myths and stories. They don't give in to church discipline or correction. They are like those two members, Jonas and Jambres, who no one really knows who they were, but apparently in the tradition of the Jewish traditions that these were those that opposed Moses, very similar like Balaam, who opposed Israel. And they did it for financial gain. Paul is saying to his young Timothy, avoid these people. In fact, do not be like them. Be different. Now, what in the world does this have to do with the New Year's resolution? And how can we draw anything for the New Year's out of this, or perhaps our conduct going into a new year? Well, I think the same principles that Timothy could apply to his own ministry, we can learn ourselves in the light of the world in which we live. And this is a world that is both, of course, out there, but also within here. And Paul gives Timothy three ways, or three things, that he should do in order to avoid falling into the category of these very people. Three things. And I think three things and principles that we can follow ourselves for the new year. And you can do this if you're young or if you're old, but especially when you're younger and starting out in life, I want to encourage you today that perhaps these three resolutions you can make for the next year would be worthwhile your effort. And so there's three things I want to encourage you. The first one that Paul says to Timothy says, follow my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. My persecutions and sufferings, what happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. Follow my example, the very first thing. So number one, for a new year, I want you to think very carefully about following the example of godly leaders around you. We have the example of many godless leaders, as Paul has given, but we have the great examples of Paul, of Peter, of all of the apostles that have gone before us, and even here in our own church, we have men and women who have followed God's example and patterned their life after his teachings. So young people and old, I want you to think about the new year in light of doing this. Make one commitment this year and find someone who you know is walking in the Christian faith and doing so faithfully and spend time with them in 2018. When I was newly saved, I knew nothing about Christianity, apart from that it was a religion. I thought I knew a lot about it, but I knew nothing from it. And as soon as I was a new believer, of course, a whole new world opened up to me. I realized that I was vastly different to the world that was out there, the world of pleasure seeking, and now I wanted to pursue a life of godliness. But the difficulty was I had learned a whole lot of bad habits. And so I had to learn new habits. And God graciously put me into a church at the time as a new believer, and I was surrounded by young men and women who were totally unlike myself. I was a complete shock to their systems. They had never befriended or really known quite closely someone from my own world. I realized that I was vastly different and I had to learn a new language and a new way of life. And the only way I could do that was walking with people that had walked the walk for many years. And so I made it my goal to hang out as much as possible with a man named Ian Fraser, a godly man. He wasn't the pastor of the church, he was just one of the elders, but he was a great example. A better example than my young pastor was, I believe. And so I'm not saying following my example, although I like to be that, but we have godly men in this church who are elders or deacons or just ordinary members whom you can spend time with. I spent time not with a man up at the front, but a man that was behind the scenes. The more time I spent with him, the more I realized how much he actually does in the church, far more than the pastor himself. The pastor himself would probably admit that. This man was faithful in all of the things he did, leading his family, leading a church, and helping a church actually through a difficult period of which I was completely unaware. And himself sacrificing his time and his energy with even his own family and still raising them in a godly manner. Both of his children serve the Lord faithfully and are called into ministry now. His pattern that he has set for me changed my life remarkably. Perhaps not immediately. I'm entirely indebted to his grace and to his mercy. If it wasn't for this example that I read here in Paul by saying, spend time following someone's conduct, as Paul said to Timothy, spend time following my conduct, how could Timothy know of his conduct unless he had spent time with Paul? He said, you have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. I want you to find someone in 2018 and spend time with that person. I might have become an irritation to you, and he never, ever said I was. I spent time with his family at dinners. Time when he had off, I just arrived at his house. He graciously took me into his home, and I learned what a godly man looks like, how he treats his wife, how he treats his children. The lessons of following someone who has walked the life with Christ faithfully and done so, and has example that in his family and in the church, there's no amount of money that can buy that. So I want you to make that your goal in 2018. Make it your goal to spend time with someone who models the Christian faith. Perhaps you're not a believer, as I know some of you have professed not to be. I want to challenge you to spend time with a faithful believer. Because if Christianity is true, then this is the one decision that you do not want to miss out on. I want you to note the difference between someone who's followed Christ faithfully and the world that doesn't, and ask the question whether or not there is a difference in this person as a result of themselves, or if it is something that God truly has done in their lives. So there's the first one I want you to do. Spend time with someone who's walked the faith and exampled it, both in the congregation and at home with his family, and you can know that this person is someone who walks with Christ. Secondly, in 2018, I want to encourage you to continue in verse 14 in what you have learned. This church is one that has faithfully preached the gospel over many years. Many of you have been raised in this church. You're in Christian families. You have been raised in Christian families. You have been taught the gospel from very young. Timothy was taught it from childhood. Saw it from his grandmother and from his mother. We don't know much about his father, but we know that these two, his grandmother and his mother, had taught him the gospel from childhood. He was raised in a Christian manner. And so Paul tells him and reminds him of what he has learned. And not only did he learn this, but he came to a firm belief of it. Here's the thing of those who grow up in a Christian family, is we so often get used to the gospel message that it becomes just something that is rubs off, that, you know, it's like a cliche. You know, you hear it so often, it has no effect on you anymore. If there's one thing you can do in 2018 is you can consider the things you've been taught. Consider the things you've been taught from childhood. Don't just let it brush off on you because you've heard it so often. I want you to take this year and think about the things you have learned. Do you firmly believe it? If you do firmly believe it, then walk in the things that you have learned. If you don't firmly believe it, perhaps you want to make this year a decision to find out whether or not truly this is reality, this is true. Spend time continuing what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it. That's the second thing I want you to say. You've been acquainted with the sacred scriptures. Fair enough. Do you believe it? Make that your goal this year. It's a worthy goal. Thirdly, and finally, make it your goal this year to study the scriptures. Seems so cliche in Christian circles. All of you here sitting are quite old. Some of you are young. But how often do we stop reading the scriptures? When last did you read through the scriptures? I'm not saying that you have to read through the whole Bible in a year or follow a program, although if that's going to be helpful for you this year, perhaps you want to commit your way to a Robert Murray M'Cheyne program or reading through the year program that you find on apps these days. You can just get downloaded for free on your app. You can actually just get one of those handouts if you want. I've got one of those Robbie Murray machines that I can email to you if you want. You can find a program if that's your thing. But here's the primary thing this year. Spend time soaking up the scriptures. I think this is an area that even as a pastor I fail on, especially in 2017. It's one of the great regrets I have of this year. Not reading scripture enough. I know it's a strange thing to admit. I study it weekly in order to preach it to you. But I haven't soaked it up. I haven't spent my mornings and evenings, as often I used to do as a young believer, reading and soaking up the scriptures. Got so acquainted with them that they don't have the same effect at times. And so we lose traction. I remember when I was a young believer, just saved, I read through the Bible about 3 times in the space of 4 months. It's possible. My Robert Murray M'Cheyne, listened to a biography of him the other day. He had a Bible reading program that he reached the whole Bible in a month. It's possible. You sit down and you read a book like Exodus, it will take you about 3 hours. So I want to encourage you, perhaps you haven't made this a habit, but perhaps this year you will not just read chapters of the Bible, but read whole books in one sitting. There are different approaches to it. But here's the thing, get into the scriptures in 2018. Paul says that all scripture is breathed out by God. We know it. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. Paul means all of Scripture. That means the Old Testament that he's referring to. So the Old Testament, all of it, including the first 7 chapters of Chronicles, all of it is useful. All of it is profitable. And therefore, all of it should be soaked up and studied. Consider meditation, the lost art of absorbing and thinking on scriptures. Consider reading large sections, whole books. Consider that this year, perhaps, maybe this year, I need to soak it up and believe that this is God's breathed out word. I find it quite remarkable that Paul gave these 3 things to Timothy in order for him to avoid the temptations of becoming like the other preachers of his day. It was here that Timothy was able to stay on course. These 3 things, very simply, following Paul's conduct very closely, recalling what he has been taught as a young man, and spending time in God's word. It's interesting when I became reformed, how quickly I started loving books on doctrine, good books. I remember reading John Piper's Desiring God, Changed My World. Then I read his Pleasures of God. It brought me into a world of theology that I never thought existed. From there on, I got into the books of Sproul, MacArthur, Calvin, Luther. Went to BI and studied. Got into Reformed commentaries. Slowly but surely forgot the scriptures. Simple reading of them. I started thinking so much theology and so little Bible. That's a shameful thing. The two should never be separated. In my own admission, I became more in love with reading ideas and theology than I did with reading God's Word. There's nothing wrong with reading good books. I encourage you to do so. But when it takes place, if you're reading of God's Word, you've got to wonder whether there's something wrong. I could read whole books by my favorite authors and struggle to read three chapters of the Scriptures. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever been there? The sermon is so much for me this year than it is for you. I want us to recover the reading of Scripture. We read it, of course. We have just read an entire sermon by Stephen, recalling the Old Testament. And in my own heart, I thought, when will the reading be over? It's a long reading. There is only one place that Paul said to Timothy to turn in order to avoid all the troubles, and that's God's holy word. As a pastor, this is the place that is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It's the Holy Scriptures that makes us competent. It's the Holy Scriptures that equips us. And it's by the Holy Scriptures that I equip this church. So it's true that Murray M'Cheyne says that the best thing that a church can have is a holy minister. The greatest need a church has is a holy minister. And the only place that a holy minister can be formed and shaped is in, of course, continual and steadfastness of preaching and teaching God's word, but in living God's word, breathing in God's word, absorbing God's word, and reading through God's word. And this year, I want to say that you shall hold me accountable to that. Am I reading Scripture? This year, I want to hold you accountable to that. I visit many of you. And I notice how all of us are struggling at this point with reading the Scriptures. Not just one person here, many of us. We're Reformed Baptists. People of the book. Some of you have encouraged me, of course, with your reading itself. I remember in a very dry period, Johan and myself, my roommate, both of us ministers in God's holy church, went and visited Philip and Sunep. Through the word, they encouraged us that night. Both of us hadn't read the word for about a week. Both of us were encouraged once again by simply opening up of the Scriptures and a reading of it. We all get into dry periods, but it's not long to move from this, God's holy minister, to what Paul wrote above. A lover of self, a lover for money, proud. And it's not long before any of us can fall into that category, dear friends. So I want to encourage you on the cusp of 2018 to make this your life goal. Firstly, 2018, let maybe be a time that you spend with someone. To young people, I'm encouraging you, find someone. It's your job to find a mentor. older people should be mentoring. You know, you should be using your time, your influences. But young people, find someone in this church and spend time with them this year as much as you can. Ask them questions. Go into their families. Look at how it's done. Even if you come from a godly family, it's good to see another godly family. Secondly, think of what you have learned. Many of you have been raised in a Christian household. What have you been learned? Consider it this year. Think through it very carefully. And don't just let it pass over you when you hear it again. And thirdly, spend time in God's Word. All of us. Read it. Whole chunks of it. Imbibe it. Read it over and over with your families. And don't grow tired of it. May 2018 be a year when we are scripturally satisfied and scripturally sound and scripturally absorbing. And may God's Word renew our souls, we pray. Let's pray. Father,